ago, but a long time ago. And we're glad to have him with us this weekend. I talked to Suzanne. She had a very long surgery, 7 hours of surgery, which was much longer than expected. But she was in a pretty good place when I talked to her, and she mentioned how that the ladies had just responded so well to her. And of course, she's been very active with the ladies group of this church, but she was the recipient of their ministry, and she just expressed it over and over, and especially mentioned Alice and Sheila's visit with her. I don't know what all was said, but that must have been a very good visit, because she mentioned y'all being up to see her after the surgery. I know we'll all keep Anita in our prayers. Pam Golden was so good to Anita, always took her to places, doctor's appointments that she needed to go, and other places. And recently, Anita moved to Alabama to be with her son. And then the very disturbing news about the brain tumor came to us this week, and we want to remember her in our prayers. The last two Sundays, the sermons have been rather short, and some of you noticed that. And one person started by saying, "I don't want to complain, but your sermons have been short." I didn't take it as a complaint, believe me. I never know how long a sermon's going to be. I try to tell you what I have been thinking, and then after I've told you once, quit. So some weeks I think longer than other weeks, I guess. I want to talk this morning about our reaction to experiences that come, which are very disappointing, and maybe experiences that we would not want in our lives. And I've been thinking about the various ways we greet those experiences. All of us have had them, and we will continue to have them as long as we live. I think initially what happens is we're disappointed. We always think some other outcome will be true in with whatever we do. And we're filled with hope. And then when the hope is lost, then we are disappointed in that. And after we are disappointed a while and we think about it and deal with it, we become discouraged. And discouragement is a terrible experience. Many of us go through discouraging times. But even worse than discouragement is despair. We express our despair in various ways. I saw a phrase this week that reminded me of this lesson and kind of inspired this lesson. The woman was describing her situation, and she said, "I was at my rope's end." And that is an idiom of speech that we use to describe what I consider to be the status of despair, being at the end of one's rope. The English would say the end, I've reached the end of my tether. Americans say rope because that's a little plainer. When one reaches the end of his rope, that's the state of despair, because that indicates there's no more energy, there's no more hope, there's no more optimism left in reviewing our situation. I thought of all the people in the Bible who reached the end of their rope, and how that must have been a despairing time in their lives. I thought of the three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar. I cannot think of a time in which one is more in despair than just before being cast into a furnace of fire. I think of Daniel in the lion's den. And then I came into mind a reading of the Apostle Paul's own experience, and I'd like to share that with you this morning. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verses 8 through 11. To the Corinthian church, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. The Apostle Paul is saying, in Asia, I experienced something that brought me all the way down to despair. It was a threat to his life, either some form of persecution or perhaps even an illness that might have afflicted him that we do not know about. In any event, he thought he was at the point of death. He said, I despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. That's how deeply he despaired over the situation. But the wonderful thing about it is that when he could not rely any longer on himself, God came in and rescued him. And one of the reasons God rescued him, Paul was convinced, was because of the prayers which the church had made on his behalf. I think of the prayers that this church has made on behalf of individuals over the years and how those prayers have been answered. And I thank God for them. That it's been an encouragement to me personally to know that this is true. And the Apostle Paul wants us to know this. He wants us to know that when we reach the end of our rope, there are people who are praying for us. And there are people who love us, and God who loves us. And God will deliver us from such a deadly peril, as he expressed it here. Paul is saying he was at his rope's end. He despaired even of life itself. There was nothing he felt like he could do about his situation. His situation was caused by factors that we do not know about. It may have been what others were doing to him. It may be some error in judgment that he made that brought him to this point. We don't know what caused it. All we know is he had reached the point of total despair, and then somehow God gave him an answer even when he was at his rope's end. The extraordinary thing is that as important as this event was in Paul's life, he does not give us more details. We do not know for certain the nature of the terrible experience that he had in Ephesus. He does not fill us in with the details, although we'd like to know, what is it, Paul, that brought you all the way down to a point in life in which you despaired of life itself? But he remained silent about that. Some have thought, of course, that it was his experience in the city of Ephesus caused by Demetrius the silversmith, in which Paul's companions were almost lynched. But the problem with that is that the Apostle Paul was not present when his companions were rescued by the city clerk, who warned that if they carried out their civil lynching, they would bring Roman troops down on the city in a very hard fashion, and that is what caused the people not to carry out the martyrdom of Paul's companions. It may be an experience about which we know nothing, but I do know that Paul's life was marked by this extremely excruciating and fearful time in his life. When we study the life of Paul, he seems like he's able to endure any circumstance, and his ability to endure seems limitless. He says on one occasion, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That, of course, is a conclusion that he drew after he had been rescued in this event that he talks about in Asia. And probably after whatever happened to him and his rescue from that despairing moment, Paul considered that God could do anything that God wanted to do in terms of rescuing him. After all, he appeals to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we ought always remember that. If God can raise Jesus Christ from the dead, there is no situation that we face that he cannot answer and he cannot remedy. What are the sources of our trouble in life? I risk sounding too simplistic when I make these suggestions to you, but they are suggestions that came to my mind this week. What is the source of our troubles? Well, we believe that some of our troubles are caused by the devil. There seems to be in our society a malignant evil which is so widespread. It is almost easier to believe in the existence of Satan than it is of God when you see so much evil and cruelty that is done in the world. And some troubles are caused by the devil. We know that. Sometime, just read the book of Job in the Old Testament. There is a story, a fascinating story, of a man who was upright and trusted God, and yet life really took a reversal on him. He lost all of his children. He lost all of his wealth. And in a very short time, he lost his health. It seemed like nothing would ever turn right for Job, and he went through that for some time. And we know, as we read in the book of Job, that behind the scenes, it was Satan who was tempting and causing these experiences in Job's life that Job didn't understand. And God's permissive will allowed Satan to do everything but to take his life. And so we know some of our troubles might well be of the devil. Another person who suffered at the hands of the devil is the Apostle Peter. In the last week of his life, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Peter, Satan has desired and demanded to have you, that he might sift you as wheat." And virtually, Jesus says, permission has been given to him. When you have become converted or turn again, you strengthen the brethren. Jesus recognized that Peter would fall into this terrible trial that the devil would place and cause him to go through. And so some troubles, we don't know which ones perhaps, but some troubles are caused by the evil one himself. When Jesus taught us how to pray, or taught the disciples how to pray, and us also, one of the phrases that he used in that prayer was, "Lead us not into temptation." And that word really means trial. And it is a prayer that we do not have to go through the trial that most would test our faith. And that is a prayer that I often, a phrase in a prayer that I often use. I don't want to be tested to the fullest strength of my faith. I don't want to go through that. Others who have gone through that have gone into discouragement and despair. Some troubles, and this surprises us maybe, but some troubles are from God, who is using our troubles for the purpose of discipline and to awaken us in our attention that we have perhaps strayed from him. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, the church was facing imminent persecution by the Roman government. And one of the sections there in Hebrews chapter 12 is to not disregard the discipline of the Lord. And he interpreted that as to say, It is for the purpose of discipline that God sometimes allows things to happen to us that bring us disappointment and discouragement and even despair. It's kind of a wake-up call. C.S. Lewis one time said, God shouts his presence in our pain. And I've always thought of that way of expressing it. It's true. When you're going through a painful circumstance, either emotional pain or physical pain, it's hard not to hear at least somewhat the echo of God's voice appealing to us. And so the writer of Hebrews says we ought to consider these things as a form of God's discipline, not to hurt us, but to help us. Some troubles are caused by other people who may act either negligently or intentionally to hurt us. People who talk about us and people who maybe spread false statements about us, or even people who tell the truth about us. You know, not everything that's true ought to be spoken of. The test of whether we should talk about somebody is not only whether what we say is true, but whether it is helpful. If it's not helpful, don't talk about it, even if it's true. But some troubles that we have are caused by other people who want to hurt us. They, for some reason, have an axe to grind, and they use it to either cause us problems of one nature or another. Finally, I thought, besides the Satan and God for discipline purposes and other people, sometimes we just make our own mistakes. We are suffering as a result of our own choices, and we bring trouble on ourselves. We do that a pretty good job of that. You don't really need a whole lot of people to bring trouble on you, and you have brought so much trouble on yourself. Whatever the source of the trouble, trouble can bring us into this point where we would say, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't have any other power or energy or ability to rescue myself from this trouble. It is then that we are best in position to be helped by God. One of the cliches that we had many years ago, and it still is true, man's extremity is God's opportunity. And so at these times when we are at the end of our rope, God comes to rescue us. Coming to the end of one's rope in life is not a frivolous matter. Despair is a grim experience. We are beginning to understand that many illnesses, from stomach ulcers to heart attacks and heart disease, may stem from clinical depression. People at the end of their rope may well shorten their lives by their condition. They may hurt others. Sometimes they lash out at others, or they may hurt themselves. So coming to the end of one's rope is not a frivolous matter. It's something to be taken seriously. We may not know when someone is at the end of their rope. I think of a lawyer that I knew. He was a prosecutor for a long time, and then he became a defense lawyer, and I knew him better after that. But he was well-liked by everyone at the courthouse, lawyers, judges. One thing that made him so likable is he always had a smile on his face and a greeting. But none of us understood some of the problems he was going through. And one time in the middle of a trial, Donald did not show up to sit at the counsel table to resume the trial. And the tragic end of that story is that he had committed suicide. He was under such pressure and so many problems that we would never know about, because he always had this kind of positive smile on his face and had a cheerful greeting for us. And so there, we may not know when someone is at the end of their rope, and that should be thoughtful to us, and we should at least try to make sure that we know people well enough to know whether they are getting at that point. Paul mentions this experience of being at the end of the rope only because it illustrated a greater truth. The truth that we make decisions, or that others make decisions about us, that throw us into depression and to discouragement and finally to despair, is not the good news. The great news is Paul's statement that God rescued him, and Paul's affirmation of faith that says, I know he'll rescue me again. Adversity produces more prayers than prosperity, doesn't it? Adversity produces more prayers than prosperity. A danger of prosperity and life going well with only minor inconveniences is that it encourages a false sense of independence. It makes us think that we can handle life by ourselves. Who needs God when life is going so well for you? That's what prosperity and life going well does for us. Sometimes we need adversity to remind us that we cannot handle life alone. We need help. As a result of this experience, the Apostle Paul had less confidence in himself as a human being, but he had an unshakable confidence in God. And he had a greater love and a greater commitment to God. And that's the whole reason why sometimes being at the end of one's rope is a great moment in life. I cannot understand people who have been at the end of their rope, rescued, who then lose their focus and their commitment to God. An experience of being saved and rescued when we have been at the end of our rope should never lose its power over us. The book of Psalms is a wonderful reflection of experiences of life. And Psalm 116 is a reflection of a man who was at the end of his rope, and he said that the Lord heard his voice, and he heard his cry for mercy. And so being at the end of his rope brought him to prayer, and God answered that prayer. And his commitment to what his life would be afterwards is what I want to close with today. Psalm 116, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. I said in the beginning, I do not understand people who have ever experienced being at the end of their rope and having an answer come from God that rescued them from that despair, ever not loving him and being committed to him. And the psalmist said, I am committed to him because he heard my voice and my cry for mercy. O Lord, save me. I hope this morning this has been some encouragement to us, because all of us either have or will go through experiences of life that first disappoint us, second discourage us, and finally throw us into despair because we discover we cannot answer that problem ourselves and we need help. And then when help comes from God, we give him the glory and the praise forever. This morning, we extend the invitation, as always, to anyone who might be present to confess your faith in Jesus Christ and to be baptized into Christ, to walk the new life. Or if we can answer any prayer requests that you have while we stand and sing, we invite you to come to the front.
Till the end, till